Hi, this is Michael Felgate. If you missed Racing Pulse, stay tuned now because here are some of the highlights.
Catalyst, the champion from New Zealand, is trained by a champion bloke in Clayton Chipperfield, who joins me this morning. G'day, Clayton. How are you?
Morning. No, I'm doing very well, thank you. Very well.
That's good. More importantly, how's Catalyst?
100%. Very, very happy with him. He's travelled good. He's settled in almost instantly. And he's been eating well and feeling great in his work since. So going into tomorrow, I've only got one excuse.
Oh, what's that?
The draw.
Well, in a small field, if we look at the race and you know how tactically it may play out, you know, there's not a hell of a lot of speed there, particularly with Big Parade coming out. You think maybe Spend goes forward, Alligator Blood probably goes forward. We've seen Your Deal on speed in the past, Darla Sand, but there's no genuine leader that might go and put pace into the race. Your horse tends to get back in his races and find the line. That tactical disadvantage, is that just that nagging doubt tomorrow?
Yeah, I think if he's not overly quick out the gates, which he has been quite slow the odd time, we're going to have to ride him back and just be tactically better than him, hopefully. But, you know, we can't be giving Alligator Blood too many lengths. And ideally, we'd love to be in the 1-1 and sit right behind him and hook out when we need to and possibly give him a run. But I can't see that happening. But, you know, J-Mac, he can do some amazing things on a horse. And then with a bit of luck, he can pull one out of the hat tomorrow for us.
You mentioned that little slow start. Now, we saw that at Ellerslie first up this time around, just off a shortish sort of break. He was last seen, of course, winning the 2,000 guineas there back in November. But he did miss the start noticeably by a few lengths there at Ellerslie. What have you done, or can you do anything to try and rectify that behaviour early in his races?
No, we haven't put him back through the gates, but that was a one-off. If you watch the replay of the start, there's four or five of them that charge the front of the gates. And he's hit his head on the front of the gates, and as he's taken a step back to regain himself, they've opened. So that was the reason he missed that one. So we can't really blame him for that. It was just one of those things. You know, I don't know whether all the horses heard something and they anticipated the start, because a few of them in the race did the same thing. But just his previous races before that, you know, he jumps with them but takes a few, three or four strides to find his balance and his rhythm, you know, and that's where he ends up losing a bit of ground. But he has also led as well in a race, you know. He drew wide and he jumped with them and were going to get caught wide, so Troy opted to go forward and sprinted forward, eased him up, and he sprinted away and still won the race. So he's been everywhere in a race, but, yeah, obviously the class of horse that we're up against tomorrow, they're going to want to be doing everything right, and he also needs to be doing everything right to be in it, but... yeah, I guess we'll just know a lot more after tomorrow.
I think it'd be foolish for any Aussie looking at the form and looking at the replays and listening to your comments to write this horse off as one-dimensional as a get-back run-on horse, because his sectionals, when you break them down and look at them over the entirety of the race, yes, his closing splits are so good, but his cruising speed's also, I mean, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is. So he's won up from 1,200 over to a mile, and he's not been left behind in any of them, really. Like, he finds his cruising speed, and he's quite comfortable. But, you know, his times are quite phenomenal, to be fair. I mean, his fastest last 600 is 32.19, and that was over a mile. So when he gets pulled out and he gets that slap, you know, he can go from 0 to 100 in a couple of strides, and that's a massive advantage, which showed at Ellerslie last start. Been 8 lengths off him, and given the second horse 2 kilos, you know, 3 wide, missing the kick. I mean, it was a phenomenal win last start, but he's going to need to be doing everything right tomorrow to be showing that sprint in the finish and then rolling them with a bit of luck.
It's an exciting time for New Zealand racing, isn't it? Because, you know, the years in the 80s and 90s and prior to that, in the, you know, late 70s, of the Kiwi horses coming over and really being competitive over all distance ranges with the top Australian horses. You know, we haven't had that, say, the last 10 years or so. Kiwi racing's relied on the Derby and Oaks prospects, but you look at Tiakau Shark, Melody Bell, and now Catalyst. It's like a little renaissance, isn't it, for that Australia v New Zealand sort of equine battle?
Yeah, it sure is. You know, it's exciting times for New Zealand coming up in the next 6 to 8 weeks, you know, with these three going around. And with hopefully two of us getting into the All-Star, you know, Melody Bell, she's a shoo-in, but we're still at the bottom half of the list. But if we can both get in that, I mean, we'll have New Zealand behind us for sure. You know, it's a great race to be representing New Zealand.
Yeah, it sure is, and a great time here to be in Melbourne and contending for some of these big races. Clayton, best of luck tomorrow. I think you'd be happy if you just hit the line and put the writing on the wall for a Guineas and an all-star mile. But let's hope he can do New Zealand proud and maybe get that win.
Yeah, thank you very much. If we can leave the race course tomorrow knowing we're competitive, we will be happy.
I'm sure you'll do that, as everything he's shown in New Zealand says that Catalyst is going to be not only a very hard horse to beat tomorrow, but one of the highlights of the Summer Autumn Carnival. Clayton Chipperfield, thanks for joining us. He'll go and tend to that horse now. Welcome back to Racing Pulse. Well, one of the funnier trainers, I'm going to say funniest. I don't know what Melbourne Comedy Festival's doing, if they've got their final bookings or what, but there's something to be said for a show of just reading out the best tweets from Mitch Beer. I think it'd get a little cult following. But we're not getting Mitch Beer on this morning to talk about his Twitter account, although we may touch on it. He has a very interesting runner at Flemington tomorrow, and Mitch joins us this morning on Racing Pulse. Good morning, Mitch.
Morning, Shark. How are you going?
I'm good. You're sounding a little under the weather. Is that just the scratchy, husky throat of a Riverina sort of trainer at this time of day?
No, I've had a big couple of days. We went to Sandown. We're in the second last at Sandown on Wednesday and got home at midnight and then backed up at Wagga yesterday. So we're grinding through, but looking forward to getting down to Flemington tomorrow.
Well, stay away from SARS or swine flu or whatever it is that you've got. We need you in top condition to be at headquarters tomorrow. You've got an interesting horse there that caught my eye, I must say, looking at the Canberra trials, a horse called Hanger. Now, you've had a bit of luck with these Kiwi imports in the last couple of years, but would it be fair to say this is the best performed horse you've been able to secure from New Zealand?
Yeah, definitely. He's a pretty high class horse, and even more so since he's arrived. I think, you know, two starts ago he was narrowly beaten into Group 3, and you know, the mitigators come out won a Group 1 since then, and also the horse that finishing second has won a Group 2. So very, very good form lines. And he's been terrific since he's arrived.
What sort of horse is he? We know if you go and watch his New Zealand replays, you know, sprint mile sort of type. He sits back and finishes off. Is he one-dimensional in that regard? Does he need speed on to be able to close off?
I think over the 12, yes. He relaxes very, very well, and he's got a ripping turn of foot. So down the straight, though, there's probably not going to be a huge amount from first to last in a small field. So, you know, with Ollie on and from that sort of inside draw, you could just imagine sort of just getting that nice cart ready to poise, not being too far off the leaders.
Tell me about this Canberra trial. I know there was only 8 in it. You know, it was a sort of moderate-looking trial. If you go back and look at the names, there's nothing there that jumps out as a superstar horse or anything like that. I must say, I'm not familiar with the work of jockey Ellen Hennessy, but it looked like she was having her shoulders rearranged there by Hanger. He went to the line under a fair old grip.
Yeah, and she's a nice young progressive apprentice around here, and I put her on and said, you know, if you let it take go, you'll never have another ride for me. I thought she was going to spew when she got off it in the mounting yard. She had her work cut out, but she did a very, very good job. I just think he's a horse that... he's done a lot of galloping in his life. He knows how to gallop. I've had a lot of success with some of these older horses that just keeping them on the bridle, doing a lot of work with them, keeping them on the bit so that when they get to their races, they're wanting to come off it. They're wanting to let go. They haven't been ripped up and running, you know, 22 and a half for the 5 weeks leading into it. So that's the angle that we'd take with him you know, more of a mental approach. You don't need to see these horses run up in cracking time every Tuesday morning, because you already know that they can do it.
Oliver's on. He's obviously got ability, this horse. Trial's good. Now, I'm looking at your records here. Is it fair to say you're having something of a little drought of winners at the moment?
Yeah, we're having a bad run at the moment. But
is this where we turn it around? Is this an old-fashioned plunge in the making?
I don't know about that. I think you can go very, very close to winning. There's some decent horses in the race, but you know, probably if he was trained by a, you know, a bigger metropolitan stable, I think he'd be going around at least half the price.
Now, you've also got runners tomorrow at Balranald. Now, you've got Mightily and Halen Rouge there. The million-dollar question, will you be at Flemington or Balranald?
I'll be at headquarters.
There you go, punters. It is on. The plunge is about to occur here on Hanger. Race 6, number 5. Buckle up. Mitch Beer is coming to Flemington instead of Balranald. I think that's the best tip you could possibly get. Now, Mitch, we know your rather rueful work on your Twitter account just entertains all and sundry in the racing industry. It's Valentine's Day today. Have you got any pearls of wisdom for those of the romantic bent out there?
I think, you know, by the time my mind boggles throughout the day of, you know, when I'm mucking out boxes this afternoon, I'll be able to come up with something that, you know, the poor souls out there that follow me on Twitter will get a laugh of. I always don't know whether I have more respect or less respect for anyone that follows me on Twitter, but I'm sure we'll pluck something by the end of the day.
Is there a perfect date? You know, we know you're a fan of takeaway food. Is there a... If it was a young lady looking to impress Mitch Beer on Valentine's Day, you know, where would they take you? What sort of outlet?
Well, there's no Sizzler in Albury, which rules that out, but, yeah.
I think there's only one left in Australia, actually. It's on the Gold Coast.
anything food-related, but I've been getting into Marriott First Sight lately, so, you know, I'm sure I'll be able to draw some inspiration.
Now, quick one off the text message for your serious question. Ask Mitch about Princess Cordelia. Now, I don't know what Princess Cordelia is. I'm assuming it's a horse. What can you tell us about it?
She is a Rose Hill winner 2 starts ago.
Mm-hmm.
Little cheap Ballast Breed filly that we picked up. She won a Tab Highway. She will miss the country championships next Saturday. They're going to come up too quick for her, but a horse that will have no problems going through its grades and certainly one to follow throughout its next preparation.
All right, Princess Cordelia, one for the Black Book there off the SMS. Mitch, best of luck with Hanger at Flemington tomorrow. You'll certainly be getting my $20. Let's hope that drought breaks.
Good on you. Thanks, mate.
And joining us to talk about this very, very interesting Kiwi import, Hanger. I think it's a great chance. Do yourself a favour. Jump on. I think it's the Racing New South Wales website has the trial results from Canberra that day. Yeah, very, very good trial. And with 2 Group 3 placings behind him, we know the horse has the ability, certainly good enough for a benchmark 90, in my humble opinion. A man whose humble opinion we always love to hear is Greg Carpenter. He joins us to talk about the closing stages of voting. I'm looking at the All-Star Mile website here, Greg Carpenter. Now, there is not long left until, well, number one, until there's a leaderboard blackout. But number two, until voting closes, how are things shaping up?
Everything's going really well, Shark. Good morning, and to all your listeners. You're right. The blackout stage of voting will begin at 10 p.m. tonight. So I'd strongly advise everyone to go on and have a look at that leaderboard later this evening so they know who's in contention for the top 10. And then voting itself will finally close on Sunday at midnight. It's been like a runaway train the last 48 hours. Big play from Dallas and across the border in South Australia, and the horses like Alligator Blood setting unprecedented levels of votes, even though running into year two.
Yeah, I saw that on social media last night, that there was a massive push for Dallas on Wednesday night into Thursday. Was there a particular campaign that team ran that you and your team were aware of? We saw some great campaigns last year, of course, particularly from the Hancock's Bloodstock team. And also Grand Syndicates ran a really good campaign too for Man of His Word. But what stood out about that big run of votes for Darlison?
Well, in All-Star Mile Vernacular, it is now called the Bouse Choice.
Ooh.
Darlison has done a Bouse Choice last year, much earlier in the voting process. I went to bed and Bouse Choice was about number 23, and all of a sudden in the morning it launched itself into the top 10. And in fact, in the original All-Star Mile, Bouse Choice was the leading vote getter on 9,793. Now, that was because a television and radio identity in South Australia, known as South Australia, South Aussie with Cozzy, who has a travel program on television and also a radio show, reached out to all his Facebook followers and said, get behind Bouse Choice. This is South Australia's only chance to get into the richest mile race in the world. And we'd sort of been thinking or hoping that he might latch on to a South Australian horse this year, because last year one of the great aspects of the All-Star Mile, the original All-Star Mile, was that every state of Australia had a runner. And he did that on Wednesday night. So I went to bed on Wednesday evening around 11 o'clock and Dallasan was in 15th position on 2,167 votes. And as we speak, he's now in 5th position on 8,541. That might even be updated further, but virtually 6,400 votes have come in just over 24 hours, and most of them launched by the plea to support the South Australian horse off South Aussie with Cozzy's Facebook page.
Who'd have thunk it? A program that I've never heard of having such an impact on such a valuable race. South Aussie with Cozzy. I might have to get a hold of some videotapes of the great man and see what his work's like. I think this year, Greg, that the big fascination with the All-Star Mile is the engagement of those three-year-olds. It looks like they're all going to be in the field. Alligator Blood, Dallasan and Catalyst. It just adds an extra layer, you know, given how strong that demographic is.
Well, absolutely. I think we've got a rich and rare group of three-year-olds coming through this year. I mean, last spring we saw Yes, Yes, Yes win the Everest against the older horses. We saw Castle Vecchio run second in the Cox Plate to one of the great horses in the world, Liz Gershaw. Last week at Caulfield, we saw Alabama Express win the All Stakes against the older horses at Wait for Age. And now we come to this group of horses who are heading to the Australian Guineas, some of them via the CS Hayes tomorrow, in Alligator Blood, in Dallasan, who was so good during the spring, Catalyst, Clay Chipperfield's 1-3-year-old from New Zealand, who steps out for the first time in Australia tomorrow. Super Seth, who won the Guineas, the only horse to beat Alligator Blood. It's really interesting, mixed messages from the Freedman camp. He was going to go to the Futurity and then perhaps on to Sydney, but they made a desperate plea yesterday, keep us in the top 10. We're still very strongly thinking about the All-Star Mile, so Catalyst, Alligator Blood, Dallasan, Super Seth. And the other little curveball that might loop into calculations in the next 24 hours is a three-year-old for Western Australia, Bob Peters, called Superstorm.
Ooh.
He nominated for the All-Star Mile but wasn't eligible through the new performance criteria. He's going to run in the Challenge Stakes. Then he's on a plane with his stablemate Regal Power to run in the Guineas. So we might even get another sensational three-year-old from the West.
I think the other great angle to the race this year, and we saw it last year, is the involvement of big syndicates. We've got the First Light team with Aristia, the Oaks winner, getting into the, or looking like she's going to get into the race, and Star Missile sitting third for the Hancocks team again, who did such a great job last year. You know, that's what it's about, isn't it? That engagement, the racing community engagement, but also, you know, those campaigns run by those big ownership groups to get the horses into the field.
Absolutely. Last year we saw Urban Ruler from Hancock's Racing with 800 owners getting its way into the field. It's half brother this year's Star Missile, another beautiful grey that's going to wear the pink and white quarters, and he'll come back to the racetrack tomorrow at Flemington. As you said, he's currently third behind Alligator Blood and Melody Bell, but he's been up in contention the whole way through that campaign run by Hancock's Racing. He's the last start winner of the $500,000 race, so his form's really good. So looking forward to him tomorrow. You've mentioned Aristia. First Light Racing had another big winner at Sandown on Wednesday. So even outside the All-Star Mile, First Light Racing are doing a great job for syndication and their owners. Aristia is a great story because it links with Living Legends. So a percentage of the prize money for Living Legends will go to Living Legends. She looks as though she's going to be in the top 10, but nothing's guaranteed. Once we get to the blackout, we saw last year a huge surge of votes. This year, we're already past 120,000 votes. A lot of them have come in the last few days, and we've got almost 3 days to go. So I hope Aristia will hold on. But for everyone out there who's a fan of Ellerton Zara Racing or First Light Racing or Living Legends, make sure you get behind Aristia. She's a quality mare. And Sharp, the other great element this year, we've talked about Catalyst, but also Melody Bell. I mean, last year I asked New Zealanders to nominate and then found out that the New Zealand people couldn't vote. Mm-hmm. This year they've voted really strongly, although I have to say more than half the votes for Melody Bell have come from Australians. So there's a lot of Australian fans who want Melody Bell to be their horse on All-Star Mile Day.
a lot of support and a lot of interest in the race in its second year. Let's hope it goes well, and get your votes in if you haven't already before Sunday. Greg, the 9 o'clock news is upon us. Thanks so much for the update. Thanks for joining us on Racing Pulse.
Thanks, Shark. Get voting.
Don't forget, you can tune in every morning from 8:30.